second chapter of Daniel. Let's look to the Lord for a moment. Loving Heavenly Father, again we thank you for the privilege of being gathered together about thy word, the Lord's people. Just a very deep chance and amongst us that have not actually placed their trust in Christ of Calvary. We pray that the Spirit of God will give them no rest until they come to know him and to know his life eternal. We remember that on the sin is the gathering of the people. We gather to no name other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now as we enter into thy word, read it, and try to speak from it, we trust that thou would open our spiritual hearts and minds that we might see and observe wondrous things out of thy precious word. These things we ask in his name and for his sake. Amen. Now, I was mentioned a little earlier about the Bible. We're told to study. You don't study without the book. And really, there's only one book. All other books are just added to it. This is the book, the Word of God. And to obey is better than sacrifice. Just how well do we obey? And then we're admonished not to forsake the gathering of yourself together as the manner of some is. The Lord's people should be at least in obedience, but it should be a joy to be gathered with others of the Lord's people. If we are strong, some will say, well, I don't need it. Well, you do need it. I don't care how strong you are, if you're not with the Lord's people, you're going to slip. And if you are that strong, you should be there to encourage the weaker ones, to undergird them. And believe it or not, they'll help undergird you as well. To obey is better than sacrifice. Study to know the Word of God. We don't get to know the Lord by not reading this book. I heard on the way over here, A.W. Torrey made the statement about why he believed the Bible. One verse. In the beginning, God. Now, we tried to start a religion. We would try to justify who this God is. God doesn't have to justify anything. He's the creator. He's the great I am. He's the eternal one. That we can't grasp that. And yet it's Elohim. It means more than two. The Lord God, when he said, let us make man, he wasn't speaking to the angel. If you would, he was speaking to his compatriots, God the Father. Well, God the Father speaking to God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image. And we are. We are in the image of God. Someone made the statement, why do we execute murderers? The Word of God says that for premeditated murder, they're to be executed for what? They have destroyed someone that was made in the image of God. All right, let us get to the lesson. What we'll try to do, just go through it. There's no way we can read all of this and then try to get back to it. To begin with, why were they in Babylon? We find it in 1 Peter 4:17. Judgment must begin at the house of God. That's the first place judgment's going to take place. God's going to judge his own. But we're first admonished in 1 Corinthians 11th chapter about 28-29, might be 30. We are to judge ourselves. If these people had to judge themselves, they would have not been in Babylon. But God gave them plenty of rope. But finally, that's it. Hebrews 12 and 6, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now, he doesn't do that because he wants to hurt them. He wants to make better people out of them. Just like you or I dealing with children. There's three things, really, that you can do to correct them. You can deprive them of something. You can correct them by voice. Or you can use the switch. And if you were like myself, you had to have all three used. And I look back and I didn't get as much as I deserved. But God's a gracious God. He knows the difference. He knows whether they're going to correct themselves. He knew that these people would not correct themselves. But he brought them into judgment. And mind you, it was for 70 years. Now, if we were to go farther along, it'll probably come up in one of the other lessons. One of the men that would be used to send them back to Jerusalem, his name was given 100 years before he was ever born. Cyrus. He is the one that sent Nehemiah back to Jerusalem. From the beginning of the wall, there's a 483 years. And then you got 82 years rather. Then you got 7 more years of tribulation. We're in the space in between. We're in the church age, the parentheses, if you will. Those last 7 years that will make the 490 years, or the 7 times 40 in weeks. Excuse me, 75 times 40. That's right. 7 times 70, excuse me. They were in judgment at this time for 70 weeks. And they were there because of their forgetting the Lord God. We find here in the very first, it says, and in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, now you could pronounce it Nebuchadnezzar, but it's the same man. Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, and his spirit was troubled, and his sleep went from him. Now, a little shorter down here, we find that all of a sudden there's another king on the scene. Let's see, I can't take it right to the place right now, but it says that there would be 3 kings. There would be Nebuchadnezzar, there would be his son, and his grandson would rule before they lost out to the Persians. And we find that there was, let's see if I got their names over here. Nebuchadnezzar, that was his father. And Nebuchadnezzar was actually a co-regent with him in the last few years of his father's life. Then there was Evil Merodach. That was the one that had been in prison, I believe, with Jehoiachin. And once he came to power, he lifted Jehoiachin back out of the prison. Now, why his father had him in prison, I don't know. But he had been in prison under his father. Then the next man that comes along is Nebuchadnezzar. He had married Nebuchadnezzar's sister. So actually the line was broken. There's the father and the son, and all of a sudden here's a brother-in-law. And then you find that Nebuchadnezzar, he had married Nebuchadnezzar, the other man's daughter. So here it looks like the rain is all, everything is all gone to pot. But then comes along Belshazzar. He was Evil Merodach's son. God said that there would be father, or the father, the son, and the grandson would reign. All right. God makes these statements, and they're going to be fulfilled to the letter. We find it's to the dreams. Let's look at Job. Job a moment. Job 33. Job 33. Begin with verse 13. Why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his matters. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not in a dream, in a vision of the night, When deep sleep falleth upon men, and slumbering upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. And this was the big fall of Nebuchadnezzar, in his pride. Later on, in another lesson, I undoubtedly believe you'll find that he actually went insane. And they left him. And so once he looked up and he acknowledged God for who he was raised up even to more glory than he had already had. Now there were others that had dreams. There was Abimelech in the case of Sarah in Genesis 20, 3 and 6. And in Genesis 31 and 10 and 40 and 5, there were Jacob's dreams, God speaking to them. Then in Genesis 41 and 12, there was the butler and the baker in the case of Joseph. And then in 1 Kings 3 and 5, there were Solomon's dreams. And remember, the Lord asked him what he wanted, and he wanted wisdom, not riches. Of course, the wisdom came with it. It's too bad that he didn't stay along that line instead of doing three things that God told him not to do. Multiply horses to himself, multiply gold, and multiply wives. And the wives were ultimately which pulled him down. And the king commanded, he was troubled in his sleep, verse 1, and the king commanded to some of the magicians, and the astrologers and sorcerers and the Chaldeans to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king, and the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spoke the Chaldeans to the king in Aramaic, and that was the language of the court. O king, I live forever, tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream, with the interpretation of it, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a refuse heap. But if ye shall show the dream and its interpretation, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation of it. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. And the king answered and said, I know of a certainty that ye would gain the time. In other words, they were trying to kill time. They were hoping the king would either let it go or something would come up that would give them an answer. Because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time is changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye shall show me its interpretation. A verse that fits here, 1 Corinthians 1, 19 and 21, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things to confound the things that are mighty, and the base things hath God chosen, yea, and the things that are not, that God, I got the last part of it wrong, but God has taken the weak things of the world to show his strength. We're little people here, as far as numbers. But our strength is in our weakness. Why? Robbie brought out the prayer. Satan trembles when a saint is on his knees. That's probably the only time that Satan trembles, as far as you and I are concerned, when we're on our knees or on our face before God. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can reveal the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asketh such things of any magician or astrologer or Chaldean, and it is a rare thing that the king require, and there is no other that can reveal it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not the flesh. In other words, it can't humanly be done. For this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. But the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. He was going to clean them all out. Now, if this man had actually forgotten all of the dream, these people could have told him anything under the sun and interpreted it anyway, but they were wiser than that. They realized this, if the king didn't remember it clearly, he remembered enough of it that it was still troubling him. And if they tried to concoct some foolish story, he would have them cold. And that was their neck. And some honestly believe that Nebuchadnezzar knew the dream complete. But he didn't want a false tale told him. And he gave him fair warning. Then Daniel in verse 12. For this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. The decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they saw Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the king thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the Lord of heaven concerning the secret that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Psalm 37:4, delight thyself all from the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Did you notice here, Daniel didn't seek the Lord's faith first. He had faith. He said, we will show you the answer, or I will show you the answer. But he knew he was going to with God. God was going to give him the answer. Psalms 25. The murderer rising with light killeth the poor, needy, and the night is a thief. Now, why I've got that there, I don't know. The wicked man is going to be cut down, though. God's going to cut him down. They're not going to fool the Lord. Daniel knew the living God and his promises. Matthew 6:6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy room, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father who is in secret. And thy Father who seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And then in the same book, over to the 18th chapter, verse 19, and I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth, as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by the Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. In James 1:5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men freely and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now that's not asking us for wisdom for to help us in our secular work. Of course, possibly he will. But primarily is to do the will of God. Then verse 19, what did Daniel first do? He went to his brothers in the Lord, if you will. And there's where you two or three agreeing on a thing. The four were agreed on the Lord giving this answer. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in the vision. Then Daniel did what? What would most of us have done? We'd run to the king and told. The first thing he did was bless God. Thank God for answering. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and seasons. He removeth kings and he setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to those who know understanding. There's another verse that says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and like rivers of water he turneth it whithersoever he will. Now, we think of these world leaders, and some of them are in that exact opposition to God. But God can turn their mind to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. Verse 22. He revealeth the deep secret and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee, I praise thee, O our God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordered to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said unto him, Destroy not the wise men of Babylon, bring me in before the king, and I will reveal unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen, and the interpretation of it? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, The secret which the king hath commanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, reveal unto the king? There is a God in heaven who revealeth secret. Again, we think, that the natural man receiveth not the things of God for the foolishness unto him. Neither can they know them because they are spiritually discerned. And you and I are dealing with the lost. We want to see them born again. And then we get a little perturbed, a little upset, a little heartbroken, because they don't take it in. Well, it's just like you and I going to the graveyard and preaching to the dead in the graveyard. They don't hear it. They don't understand it. They're spiritually dead. They're spiritual corpses. When you and I are speaking, whether it's from up here or witnessing one-to-one, we stand between what? The quick and the dead. The living and the dead spiritually. What did God say to Adam and Eve? In the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And die they did. Although Adam lived to be, what, 930-some years old. But when that fruit was eaten of, they died spiritually. Prior to that, in the cool of the day, God came down into the garden and he walked and he talked with them. That's what man was made for, to have fellowship with God. But now he comes down in the garden. Where are they? They're hiding. Sin had come into their life. Spiritually, they were dead. And by the way, they covered themselves with aprons of fig leaves. Didn't cover them. Then the word says, in the King James, it says skins. But the original says skinned, one skin. God clothed them with the skin of an animal. That meant one innocent animal had to die that they would be clothed. Their sin would be covered. That's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, God that died with the sin of all of us, not only covered, but washed away. But there is a man, there is a God in heaven who revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter? But he who revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, that thou mightest know the thoughts of the heart. I've got a few notes down here. We can't get into it very much. It was APG. APG. God revealed his Godhead and nature, Romans 1 and 20. His righteousness in the law, Romans 7 and 12. His mind and will in his word, Hebrews 1 and 1. His love in Christ, John 3, 16 through 18. His grace in the gospel, Titus 2 and 11. His wrath in the judgment, Isaiah 28, 16 to 22. And his glory in his son, 2 Corinthians 4 and 6. God revealed that to men. He's revealing something to this man, Nebuchadnezzar. He's revealing what's going to take place in the future. Now, we can't get into all of it. The time's about gone now. But the head of gold was Babylon. That nation's still here. It's not called Babylon anymore. If I'm not mistaken, it's Iraq. Then there was the Medes and the Persians. He was gold, pure gold. He's the only man, if you will, that ruled the known world with absolute authority. If you would, he was a despot. When his word went out, that was it. That's all there was to it. Then the Medes and the Persians came along. They were silver. They were a step down. A little stronger metal, but it was not as pure. It wasn't as valuable. But there was a weakness there. The king could make a law, but he couldn't break it. In Nebuchadnezzar's day, he could make it or break it, whatever he wanted to do. He was the sole authority. He was the despot. And then we come along to the Greco Empire. Alexander the Great. If I'm not mistaken, what was he, 33 when he died? He died, and this was his thought, there's no more place for me to conquer. And that's the reason he's depicted as a leopard with wings. He was so swift and so ruthless. There was no more place to conquer. But then there was one that would come along beyond them. Then you find the iron. Rome. And brothers and sisters, the only time this world has had complete world peace was when Rome ruled, when Christ was here. Believe it or not. There's always been wars ever since. And before. But it was either McIntosh or Campbell made this statement. It was the most damnable peace this world had ever seen. Because if you even peeped out of line, they crushed you. No question there. And then we find the feet. Clay and iron. There was the strength, but there was weakness. Plus the fact they wouldn't bond to one another. And that depicts the 10 nations of the Roman Empire. And we've got what looks like it in Europe today. It doesn't have to be nations, it can be areas, but they're all there. And they've already got friction amongst themselves. That's the iron and the clay. So God essentially set the history of the way the world was going to go. Those empires and the remnants are all there. All those countries are still there. Maybe a different name, but they're still there. God doesn't make mistakes. And for God's people, this man was used to judge them. Eventually, Nebuchadnezzar, I believe, was a God-fearing man. No question. And he was glorified that much more. And certainly Cyrus was a hand-picked man, but he was of the Medes and Persians. The Medes and Persians, they had two rulers. They had weaknesses. But as they come down, there was weaknesses in as to the value of it. But it became harder and stronger. And ultimately Rome, with all of her power, she just crushed everything. And the day's coming when that world power, the old Roman Empire, whatever name they call themselves, will be the ultimate power that's going to rule this world until the Lord Jesus Christ comes in and takes over. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the wonderful God that we have, the wonderful Savior, who came from heaven's glory for but one purpose, to become our substitute. That way of salvation is only to those that have put their trust in Him. Not a head knowledge, just believing with the head. There's much of that about we have to carry it a little lower to the heart so it becomes part of us. Just like a little child, as has been made or mentioned of earlier, the parent could tell the child that the moon was made of green or yellow cheese or whatever, and that little child would just accept it completely. And this is how we're to accept God's word. It isn't that we're not to study it and to grow in it, but God said it, I believe it, and that ends it. We think of the story of Billy Graham. Someone asked him, did he believe in Jonah and the whale? He said, certainly. the whale swallowing Jonah, but if God said that Jonah swallowed the whale, he would have believed that too. We're dealing with the one with whom nothing is impossible. He spoke the world into being, and even as a babe, he upheld all things by the word of his power. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. But what a wonderful thing to place yourself in his hands, trusting him as Savior. Again, we think of all these dear ones that have been laid aside with illness. With thy mind and will, certainly we'd like to see them raised up. Others that have been bereaved, that they would be comforted. But whatever the case, Father, we pray that thy will be done. We rejoice in everything. And again, in everything, giving thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you personally. Now we ask that thou would be with each of us, take us all to our several homes in safety. These things we ask in his name and for his sake. Amen.